This program, Kevin Smith Reports, is a production of her company, Progress Indiana LLC. It's bought and paid for by its sponsors,
T&J Tire, West Electric, Anderson Wrecker Service, Gardner Construction, and Perkins Restaurant and Bakery. Please mention Kevin Smith Reports the next time you connect with any one of our fine sponsors.
You know, Todd, some time ago, and I don't remember the exact month it was, but it has become, again, obviously, a source of news, a source of
distress for
catalyst. You know, it's been a catalyst for some mighty powerful news stories. And obviously editorials that have come about, and that is all in conjunction with a gentleman by the name of Robert Braver, who has a website. It's called CharityScam.com, I believe. And let's bring Robert in here. He's been kind enough to join us again today. Robert?
Good morning, Kevin. How are you this morning?
So pleased to have you as a guest on this program. You were last on September 24th.
Yes.
And we talked about the charity scam issue and basically what led to your awareness of this being a problem and what you did. If you would recap that a little bit about the background about why you felt that this was necessary, CharityScam.com.
Well, I was just hoping to just put some other additional information out there that people might be able to run across if they do a Google search on a particular organization name, you know, hopefully prior to making a contribution, just so they can make their own informed decision as to whether or not a particular organization is something that they want to put their money into. But it's not really a secret that a lot of these so-called charitable organizations, particularly ones that are claim some kind of an affiliation with, you know, with law enforcement, reserve deputies and, you know, things like of this nature, it's fairly well known, at least on some levels, that really these organizations do very little towards, you know, what they're saying that they do. And this call came in, and I guess it just struck me, you know, I was in the mood to, you know, really follow up on it more than I usually do, and you know, and ask the questions that you're supposed to ask when you get a charitable appeal of this nature. And you know, I was, yes, certain claims were made in the course of the call, and
now this call, you know, that you're referring to specifically was from Dogs Against Drugs.
Yes, and you know, that all kinds of claims were made as far as, you know, what they do, that they procure police dogs for agencies in Oklahoma that can't afford them, and that they go into the classrooms and they put on these sessions and they have, you know, coloring books and all these materials, and it all sounds great. You know, it's certainly something that people, you know, can get behind. But you know, the problem is that even through all that's happened since this time, I set this stuff up in February, that I was on your show in September, as you mentioned. The local paper there picked up the story, interviewed me briefly earlier in the month, and ran a story on it. And now the editorial that you mentioned, and to this day, I've kept repeating this question: is that, you know, can you name the police departments in Oklahoma that have received a dog or any of these program materials for this puppy patrol program where the canine officers go into the classrooms? Mm-hmm. And as of this very moment, almost a year later, they have not been able to identify a single police department that has received a canine officer or any assistance of any nature or any type of program material, so much as a single coloring book. Nothing. They can't tell me anything.
And in Oklahoma.
In Oklahoma, right. But that is specifically what the caller told me, was that this is what they were doing specifically in Oklahoma.
Right. And so they have never, Dogs Against Drugs has never provided you with any of that information?
Correct.
Have you found out anywhere else, if from any other sources, if Dogs Against Drugs did indeed do anything in Oklahoma as they promised?
No, I've seen no evidence of any nature of anything that they've done in the state of Oklahoma. The only thing that I heard, that I saw, was just what the local paper had to say when they interviewed Mr. Sparks, and, mm-hmm. and he said, "Well, yeah, at some point in the past, yes, there something was done with a dog to Oklahoma, and Oklahoma was mentioned, but there's no backup of mm-hmm. that. They can't substantiate that claim."
Mm-hmm. Now, have you, you know, you've obviously been following the stories that have been printed in our local Herald Bulletin newspaper, and probably been following it at their online site.
Yes.
What has motivated you? Why you and other people have not stepped up and talked about this particular problem with this charity?
Well, I think it's like anything else. You know, people don't have time to mess with it. People don't want the drama. You know, I don't enjoy having someone post something that ends up on my mm-hmm, Facebook profile mm-hmm. that says that I make my living harassing charities, mm-hmm. and that my MO is slandering people.
Those comments have been pasted on your Facebook page?
Yeah, well, the way the newspaper's facility for commenting right. on stories, it ties into it's actually done through Facebook. Mm-hmm. So if you have if you are on Facebook, when you post this, it actually posts it as a post to your profile along with any other responses or follow-ups to that. So I actually have Jenny Sparks, her comments are actually on my Facebook page.
And what were those responses? I don't recall, but it seems to me they were in defense of Dogs Against Drugs.
Yes. Well, and I had posted a follow-up because the story in the paper just says that, you know, Chief Sparks said that, you know, mm-hmm. that his wife had answered all my questions and even talked to me on the phone and all this, and, you know, numerous emails as if, you know, I was imposing something unreasonable upon them, and they humored me. So I just made the point that, I said Chief Sparks says that his wife answered all my questions, mm-hmm. but the email exchange, which I have posted in its entirety, you can judge for yourself. You don't need to take my word for anything, that the emails are right there posted on this website. And then I just made the point, because I don't think it was adequately reflected in the article, that, you know, these people were copied in all these emails, mm-hmm. the additional people on the board directors, you know, and I'm raising questions about dishonest claims made in the course of these fundraising calls, at least the call that I received, and there's stone silence. And I just made the point that, you know, it seems to me that a legitimate organization would have immediately taken steps to rectify any false claims that are being made mm-hmm. by their marketing. I mean, because it's one thing if you don't disclose, you don't do a very good job of using donors' funds to the stated cause. Yep, it's one yep, thing to yep. do that, but it's another thing to make misrepresentations. And there was just stone silence. So I made that point, and then there were follow-ups where she just said, you know, hey, I did answer your questions, and mm-hmm. And by the way, people need to know that that this man, meaning me, makes a living criticizing charities. So, of course, that's just silly. If there's a career opportunity in criticizing charities, I can't really wrap my mind around mm-hmm, that. But mm-hmm. And of course, the people that I work for, I work for a 102-year-old Oklahoma-owned company where I've been working for 6.5 years now. Wonderful people, and they'd be very shocked to learn that I'm actually, in fact, earning my living criticizing charity.
Gotcha. But charity scams, as you pointed out, are prevalent all across the United States. It's not just one area.
Yeah, I believe so. I think it's actually pretty common, especially these types of organizations.
Yeah. There's even been scams exposed in wake of the 9/11 attacks in New York City, and some of the scams that went on. Saw a great one on television about an investor that took this gal's money. Her husband had perished in that terrible act of terrorism. So, okay, since the stories have broke in the Anderson Herald Bulletin, have you had any other follow-up? Has there been any more discovery, any more information to this story?
No, not other than just what I've read in the paper and just what other people have posted. Again, it's the... I'm not really a crusader. I mean, I have, as we talked about last time I was on the show, I have been involved in a lot of consumer advocacy areas with relation to, abusive telemarketing practices and things like that. But my schedule, my lifestyle now just does not allow me the type of free time that I had then to do that. I have a lot of other responsibilities.
Let me ask, is this the first time that you have been interviewed about that charity by our local newspaper?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep, that was a few days before the story came out.
Wow.
Earlier in the month. And I was a little bit surprised that it's not something that's come up before, but then again, only occasionally do you see stories on the news, like on our local TV news. They've done investigative reporting, and really very similar to the story here, where they say, hey, the organization only gets pennies on the dollar from the before it even leaves the professional fundraiser, and it's a very similar thing. The guy that heads up the organization effectively just shrugs his shoulders and say, hey, that's just the way it is. That's the best we can do, and. So, it was kind of a softball thing. It's like, well, so this is a deal, but yeah, you may want to check it out. And so my whole point is that in doing this is just trying to do my little tiny part in raising awareness and encouraging people to not just take as gospel, what these people say on the phone and actually go in with starting off from a skeptical point of view, because most of these calls, at least it's been my experience, most of these types of organizations that are going to call you up on the phone for these types of anything related to law enforcement or reserve deputies or firefighters or things like that, really virtually nothing collected goes to any kind of laudable purpose.
Why do you think that this type of scam seems to be so effective when it involves, like, dogs against drugs, police, fire, that type stuff? What is it that makes those so attractive?
Well, people want to do the right thing. People want to donate and help out organizations like this. It appeals to people's sense of righteousness and it's something that they can get behind. I can certainly get behind the concepts that Dogs Against Drugs, Dogs Against Crime promotes, and I could certainly see myself supporting an organization if they were a good steward of my money. And that's why I asked the questions, and I have put my money where my mouth is. I do contribute money to organizations.
Mm-hmm,
in fact,
mm-hmm.
I'm looking at my financial situation right now. I've got a few hours left to get some stuff in that I can deduct on my taxes.
Yes.
I'm looking at some additional organizations and seeing how much extra I can do before the end of the year. So people want to do things like that, but And to me, that's just all the more reason why we need to ask the questions and make sure that when we do support a charitable organization, that that the money really is being put to good use. Because, you know, I don't have just tons of money lying around. I have to keep very close tabs on how much money that I can free up for charitable organizations, and I want to make sure that every dollar that I donate, you know, it's being put to good use, and that the, you know, I do understand people, you know, people that work in the office need to get paid, and they deserve to get paid, and there are expenses and overhead, and I fully understand that, but there are reasonable norms for what is considered a reasonable amount of overhead, and you have to ask the questions to make sure that your money is going to an organization that's going to do the right thing with your money.
Let me ask, the because the focus of this that really hasn't been delved into a lot is the issue of who the telephone solicitation company is. Do we have any information on that, who this company was? I think it was in Tennessee.
I don't.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know who it is. I don't know what they do with the money.
Our local newspaper said now that they've closed their doors and gone out of business, and I find it interesting that it was right after this story broke in Anderson, and now they're out of business.
Well, what I have heard, and I haven't, what I've been told, but I haven't looked at the documents myself, is that the organization reached an agreement with, I believe, the Ohio Attorney General that had to do with disclosures or deceptions being deceptive information being given in the course of solicitations, and they agreed that they could not fundraise into Ohio for a five-year period, nor could they act as an advisor to any charity in Ohio. So
now, was that in conjunction with their solicitation for Dogs Against Drugs, or other charities that they were soliciting for?
I do. In the materials that I read, there wasn't anything specific as far as any given organization. But again, I have not delved into it. I have not tried to obtain these documents from the Ohio Attorney General. They're probably on the publicly available. I could probably go, you know, pull them up now. I just haven't had the time to go and do that. But that seems to me, that seems to be the event that led to the organization going out of business. And I find it interesting that the headline in the paper was a little misleading. The headline implies that people just stopped giving, you know, that donations dried up because for whatever reason, and so that's why they went out of business when Dogs Against Drugs went out of business. But in reality, if you read the story, you'll see that the professional fundraiser abruptly shut their doors.
Right.
And that's what the problem was. So, in fact, Chief Sparks had not ruled out the possibility of finding a replacement telemarketer or a fundraiser that presumably would start up with the exact same model that they've been using with this organization and start right back up again.
Robert, would you hold on with us while we take a brief break?
Sure.
Thank you. Robert Braver's my guest on hour number two of Kevin Smith Report. Stay with us for hour number three as we kind of move into a free-for-all. We'll be back.
There's much more to come on Kevin Smith Reports right after this.
Hi, I'm Michelle Reese, owner of Perkins Restaurant and Bakery in Anderson, Indiana. I welcome you to come in for an awesome omelet or choose our country fried steak biscuit platter. Breakfast is just the beginning. Try our homestyle pot roast, grilled pork chops, a chicken pot pie, or a burger and fries, and much more. Don't forget our fresh pies, muffins, and cookies made fresh daily. Also, our 99-cent dessert special on Sundays and Wednesdays from 4 to 9 p.m. Breakfast is just the beginning at Perkins Restaurant and Bakery on Scatterfield Road in Anderson. See you soon.
Just look at the workmanship in this remodeled home. From every angle, you can see that attention to detail is what sets Gardner Construction apart.
We are so happy with the way our room turned out. Rick Gardner and his team did a fabulous job, and they kept us within budget.
Gardner Construction specializes in all types of renovations and additions, as well as complete homes and freestanding garages.
We at Gardner Construction look forward to working with you.
You always get higher-end details, but not higher-end costs. With Gardner Construction, call us today.
Did you know that employees of West Electric receive more than 8,000 hours of on-the-job training? And they complete nearly 1,200 hours of classroom instruction, so you know they're extremely good at what they do. West Electric sends only the highest skilled labor to do the job. Whether it's a home improvement project or a large industrial job, West Electric will work within your budget to complete your electrical project on time and with safety in mind.
Call West Electric at 643-6444 or visit their website at westelectricinc.com. When you need a tow, here's where to go. AWS, Anderson Wrecker Service. They're locally owned and operated, and they can handle all your light and heavy-duty towing needs. They do flatbed and motorcycle hauling, plus they've got a well-lit, secure lot for vehicle storage. Swift and friendly, always ready, 24 hours a day. Call Anderson Wrecker Service at 644-3339 and look for the big white trucks. Call 644-3339. AWS, Anderson Wrecker Service.
You're listening to Kevin Smith Reports.
Kevin Smith, thank you for staying with us. Our guest is Robert Braver from Oklahoma. Robert Braver has really been tracking not-for-profit scams, and this one in particular, Dogs Against Drugs, which has led to some great newspaper stories here that have been very informative in Anderson, Indiana through the Herald Bulletin editorial, culminating with an editorial calling for Chief Darren Sparks to resign his career at the police department altogether. Now, Robert, in light of the stories that have been in Anderson, Indiana, in the Herald Bulletin newspaper, the stories in the editorials, what's your reaction to those?
Well, I think it's fair. I think it's one thing to have an organization that is inefficient and doesn't doesn't disclose this up front, because the law of the land is that's okay. This is a free country, and it's incumbent upon the potential donors to do their homework. But it's another matter altogether when someone raises the issue that, hey, they called me on the phone and they told me this and this and this, and that, and these statements are untrue. You can't substantiate any of this. What's going on? Can you please answer my questions? Tell me the departments that you've provided resources to, so I can verify that. And by the way, that is exactly what the FTC tells consumers they should do. They should do exactly that. Don't feel self-conscious about asking that. But to answer your question, I'm still trying to wrap my mind around the fact that after raising these issues, I have heard not a peep from Chief Sparks or anyone else on the board of directors of this organization. And instead of being thanked for bringing to their attention that, hey, our fundraiser is making misleading statements, we can't have that, I don't get that. I get called out for or accused of making a living by criticizing charities and that my MO is slandering people.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the problem I have. And when you really, you know, it's hard for me to just willy-nilly say, oh yeah, that person should resign or he should be, you know, run out of town on a rail. You know, that's a pretty harsh statement. And that's, you know, and you don't wish upon, it's hard to wish upon anyone, you know, that someone's, you know, career, you know, be adversely affected like that. But in light of the fact that you have someone who is in charge of an organization that on an annual basis is taking in roughly $1 million of, you know, money that is, and, you know, the vast majority of that are contributions that are made by, you know, by, you know, people who receive one of these phone calls and think that they're doing something good.
Mm-hmm.
These claims are being made that you can't substantiate, and you don't do anything about it. That at that point, I can actually get behind what the editorial said, and that is, you know, someone with this lack of integrity. Should that person not, I mean, obviously, with the changing of the administration there in Anderson, Indiana, which I'm now a little bit more familiar with, that I've read up on it, but that, yeah, Mr. Sparks will no longer be chief after the first of the year, but, you know, their point was, is should he even be a police officer? And it saddens me to say this, but I have to agree with that. If you're taking in this kind of money from people who think they're doing something for charity, and you can't substantiate it, you have no interest in looking into or remedying claims that are being made that are false. In other words, lying to people. I mean, I'm just going to say it. They're calling up, lying to people about, you know, what they do to collect money, and when then the money is you know, only a token amount is going to anything that even resembles what they're supposedly collecting the money for. I have a real problem with that. There's just no integrity associated with that kind of behavior. And now
some would ask, because there's always the political side. If you had political motivations, if you have any connections with Anderson beyond this website and your observations about the Dogs Against Drugs.
I knew zero about the politics of Anderson, Indiana. I live in Norman, Oklahoma, which is the third largest city in Oklahoma. We have about 100,000 people, and our municipal elections and city council, it's all nonpartisan. So this is a little different to me, but I've learned a little bit about it. I'm actually about as close as you can get to a yellow dog Democrat in this red state of Oklahoma. I am very liberal. I rarely vote for Republican candidates, although I certainly have in the past. In fact, I recently voted for a Republican candidate because the incumbent Democrat, I felt, was, you know, not always ethical and maybe a little bit, on, you know, self-serving, self-dealing, and so I voted for the Republican. So it's totally a nonpartisan issue for me, and, you know, people that do things that they shouldn't, people that are less than honest, people that that use a political office in ways that they really shouldn't. You know, that's kind of a nonpartisan thing that happens on both sides of the aisle. So,
is there some observation then that you would make? Does either what's the glue? I guess what's the fundamental that you look for if you're involved in a political organization or party, one side or the other? Does one side have the reins of morality more than the other party?
Well, I guess it depends on what your morality is. I mean, there's just many, many issues that I myself personally fall more solidly into the camp of Democrats on many social issues, and there's just a whole scope of things that is where my personal feelings lie. And there's many, and of course I have many close friends that are Republicans and always have been and probably always will be, but there are, and so I'm not, you know, tarring everyone with the same brush, mm-hmm. but there's a lot of morality type points of view on things that I personally find very offensive and very repugnant, and those types of things, you know, they find a home in the Republican Party. They do not find a home in the mm-hmm. Democratic Party. Mm-hmm. So that is why I personally identify as a Democrat. I feel that I could also say, well, I'm an independent because I don't really, there's things that, you know, I don't toe the line. I don't march in lockstep to everything that, you know, the quote unquote Democrats say is mm-hmm. the way I should feel about things. But I do feel that the way our system is I want to be able to vote in the primary, you know, that kind of thing. And which you can't do here in Oklahoma if you're an independent. So,
I see. Yeah. So you have to, in Oklahoma, is it similar to Indiana there where you go in and you actually declare your party because you're voting for either the Democrat slate or the Republican slate.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. Okay.
And I want to be involved in that. I want to have say in you know, who the nominee is going to be. And that's the reality is we have a two-party system, and so I'm going to align myself where I feel, is the philosophy that is going to be more consistent with my personal philosophy.
Well, Robert, I want to thank you for your endeavors in exposing corruption and not for profits. I appreciate that. It does. What what was your opinion of Anderson, Indiana, when you discovered this and opinion of it now? Good,
well,
bad, or indifferent?
I don't know. It's, you know, these things. There's, you know, no matter where you are or who you are, there's always, you know, things that are going to happen that are kind of an embarrassment. You know, these things always happen. The question is, you know, what do people do about it? And the bottom line is, in this case, is some light was shed on it. And, you know, I'm glad that I did a little part on that. I appreciate the part that you've done in exposing this and bringing this issue up, because it's something that people do need to be aware of. But, things are, the paper, the newspaper, local paper is saying that Chief Sparks should resign over this. And Chief Sparks and his wife are going to have to live with, the consequences of these facts that are out there, and that's something that they're going to have to deal with. And, you know, so, you know, it's, I don't know, it's, I don't think it, when you really get down to it, it's hard to really blame the whole community for something. But yeah, it's something that if I, you know, I lived in Anderson, Indiana, that would be one of those things that I would feel, well, gee, that's kind of a black eye. Mm-hmm. You hate to see that. But by the same token, you know, these types of things happen everywhere. And, you know, you can't necessarily, you know, paint the whole community with, tar them with a brush of, when somebody does something like that.
Well, Robert, thank you for sharing your time on this Saturday morning with the folks in East Central Indiana.
Well, it's been my pleasure.
I appreciate it a great deal.
Okay, thank you, and congratulations on your victory in the election, and best of luck to you.
Thank you, and I look forward to meeting you at some point in the future.
That would be my honor.
Robert Braver, CherryScam.com. Go to the website, read it yourself. Kevin Smith with Todd Baldridge. We'll be back in just a moment.
Kevin Smith reports.
We all know that winters in Indiana can cause havoc, and it's never too early to prepare. At T&J Tire, we can help you prepare for the weather ahead. This is Jeff Parker of T&J Tire. Because our company knows what Indiana weather can do to your vehicle, let the technicians at T&J Tire prepare your car for winter driving. We offer many brands of quality all-season tires. We even offer free installation. Let T&J Tire help you prepare for the weather ahead. T&J Tire on the corner of 9th and Jackson, downtown Anderson, open 7:30 to 5, Monday through Friday, and Saturdays 8 to noon.
Breakfast is just the beginning at Perkins Restaurant and Bakery, where you can sit down to a piping hot and fresh breakfast any time of day. Try the Cinnamon French Toast Platter. It's just like Mom used to make. Two thick slices of French toast, dusted with cinnamon and sugar, served with two large eggs cooked to order, with your choice of smoked bacon or sausage links, and choice of hash browns or breakfast potatoes. Mmm. The Cinnamon French Toast Platter at Perkins Restaurant and Bakery, where breakfast is just the beginning, on Scatterfield Road in Anderson.
Just look at the workmanship in this remodeled home. From every angle, you can see that attention to detail is what sets Gardner Construction apart.
We are so happy with the way our room turned out. Rick Gardner and his team did a fabulous job, and they kept us within budget.
Gardner Construction specializes in all types of renovations and additions, as well as complete homes and freestanding garages.
We at Gardner Construction look forward to working with you.
You always get higher-end details, but not higher-end costs. With Gardner Construction, call us today.
Did you know that employees of West Electric receive more than 8,000 hours of on-the-job training? And they complete nearly 1,200 hours of classroom instruction, so you know they're extremely good at what they do. West Electric sends only the highest skilled labor to do the job, whether it's a home improvement project or a large industrial job. West Electric will work within your budget to complete your electrical project on time and with safety in mind.
Call West Electric at 643-6444 or visit their website at westelectricinc.com.
You're listening to Kevin Smith Reports on News Talk 1240 WHBU.
Kevin Smith. We actually have very significant people in the studio here today. And he doesn't want to go on air, but he's a very important member of the community and obviously very close and dear to our... And we're glad he stops in. So we'll just leave it at that, because he's radio shy. That's okay. But what did you find? There, and you looking know, up the background on this...
There's still a lot of loose ends to tie up with this story.
Absolutely. And what did you find?
Well, I recall that in the Herald Bulletin, your main source of print news and information for Anderson and Madison County, there was some information about nonprofit services,
mm-hmm.
which was the fundraiser, and then being
are
based...
Are we sure that's the name of the company?
Well, that's
absolutely sure.
Well, that's what was
reported.
I don't
want to use a name unless it's absolutely...
It was reported in the Herald Bulletin.
Nonprofit services.
Nonprofit
was
services.
Company.
Out of Tennessee.
Okay.
And so I found a company called Nonprofit... Nonprofit Organization Services
out of Knoxville,
Tennessee.
And that might not be the same company, though.
Well...
we're just making an assumption.
I did do a little bit of cursory research
on this company. You know what we'd have to do?
We'd
have to go back to the reporter who wrote that story and ask them where they got the name of the...
Right.
Because otherwise it's just an assumption on our part.
Melanie Hayes, I believe, was the reporter for this story. So if she's listening, give us a call, 378-2086. I did a little bit of cursory research on the nonprofit organization services company based out of Knoxville. They're also operating under the same company as Grant Writing for Profits, GrantWritingForNonprofits.com, HotFrog.com, ScoopGo.com, and NonprofitGrantServices.com. And there's an individual named Travis Belcher and a phone number there. So, Travis, if you're listening today, please give us a call.
But that's for a company that shares a similar name. That's the Nonprofit Organization Services that's based in Tennessee. But in the newspaper, it said Nonprofit Services.
Well,
the organization is in the middle, right?
Well, their domain name, at least, is nonprofitservices.org.
Their domain is Nonprofit Services, but the website says Nonprofit Organization Services.
Right.
Okay. And what did you find? Because it's based in Tennessee, But you found that the principles in that from at least, what, 2006, an IRS report? Is that what you were looking at?
Well, that was a document. I don't know if it was meant for public consumption, but it was one of their...
How did we get
but we found it anyway.
Oh, I'm sorry, we're journalists. I'm sorry.
But it was one of their clients, and the client name was Individual Creations Incorporated, and it listed some names there. So maybe on a later show, we can follow up and give those folks a call.
I think this is a story that's worth following. Follow the money. I mean, there's something else here. I don't know what it is. Now, I'm certainly not saying that these things are facts, but I find it interesting that when Dogs for Drugs, these newspaper stories were written in Anderson, and the editorial followed, then according to the paper, this Tennessee company also closed its doors. Is that correct? Was I reading that news story correctly, or am I wrong?
I don't recall that part of the story.
Okay. Well, it may not be right.
I may have missed that one.
But there's something else there. I mean, if that's the case, you know, when one closes, the other one closes, something's at issue there. Maybe this was the only company, the only not-for-profit. I mean, that could be.
A lot of lingering questions with this, Kevin.
We actually encourage... Harold Bulletin and Melanie to follow up on this. I mean, I'd just give it as a news tip. This is the news tip I would give. Follow up on that not-for-profit that was making phone calls. We'll just keep that between you and I, that I've made that suggestion. Not for public consumption, necessarily.
Right.
We'll see if it goes. Because, you know, I think that's a valuable link to follow. I found it also interesting when I asked... Braver. I didn't include some things. One of the Facebook posts from George Clarion said that a FTC complaint was filed.
Yes.
So that's a follow-up that could very well come about with news stories.
As well, a complaint was filed with Senator Richard Lugar's office.
Seriously. Okay, so you file a complaint with your senator. I mean, that sounds good, but... What's that going to accomplish?
Maybe a little bit of publicity. Maybe
I don't know.
Air this thing out.
No, but
the more.
FTC. Now, how would the FTC play a part in this, Doc?
You tell me.
I'm asking.
Let's do some research on that.
We'll do that. Okay, on that too. But anyway, there's obviously more to this story that could come out. I'd like to hear from someone from the other side that thinks this was okay, or that this story should go away. Or that it's old news, or even that it's political. I mean, that's fine. We try to, be a conduit for all ideas. I might debate my position and debate it feverishly, you know. I would entertain that for someone to call in 378-2086, which is our neighborhood line. Or our suburban line, which is 1-800-578-1240. If you would like to defend or even criticize me or Braver or the Herald Bulletin for their reporting on this, that's fine.
And if anyone criticizes this program's reporting, just remember this is a paid program from Progress Indiana, LLC.
The company. It's the company. And made a movie about that, didn't they? That company, or was that the corporation? Nimrod, one of those two. The point is that we'll take the other sides and explore those thoughts that you might have, and we'll do so right now. I think. Good morning. You're on Kevin Smith Reports.
Mr. Smith, how are you today?
Oh, it's a beautiful, warm, sunny, balmy day in Indiana.
It's a wonderful day.
Sunshine is abundantly showering down upon our foreheads.
Are you looking forward to your new gig?
Going back to work.
Are you?
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know we've had our differences, but I wanted to make this call today for a very specific reason and talk about what you're talking about on the air today.
Please.
And I can't defend this in any way. You know, I've lost faith in the whole process.
I hate to hear losing faith in a process.
I'm sorry, but, you know, this is the first time I was actively engaged in politics and in a campaign for mayor. And, I mean, it's really soured me. I mean, it just...
Well, hold on. I got to take a break, and I want to hear why it soured you. Do you mind if you hold on just a moment?
I don't mind at
all. Okay.
Well,
hold on. We'll be back with Randy in just a moment. Kevin Smith reports.
When you need a tow, here's where to go. AWS, Anderson Wrecker Service. They're locally owned and operated, and they can handle all your light and heavy-duty towing needs. They do flatbed and motorcycle hauling, plus they've got a well-lit, secure lot for vehicle storage. Swift and friendly, always ready, 24 hours a day. Call Anderson Wrecker Service at 644-3339. Look for the big white trucks. Call 644-3339. That's AWS Anderson Wrecker Service.
We all know that winters in Indiana can cause havoc, and it's never too early to prepare. At T&J Tire, we can help you prepare for the weather ahead. This is Jeff Parker of T&J Tire. Because our company knows what Indiana weather can do to your vehicle, let the technicians at T&J Tire prepare your car for winter driving. We offer many brands of quality all-season tires. We even offer free installation. Let T&J Tire help you prepare for the weather ahead. T&J Tire on the corner of 9th and Jackson, downtown Anderson, open 7:30 to 5, Monday through Friday, and Saturdays 8 to noon.
You're listening to Kevin Smith Report.
Kevin Smith. Thank you for staying with us. Kevin Smith Reports. Let me remind you that you can go to Kevin Smith Reports, where all these programs are archived. And you can go in and listen to Robert Braver's first interview with us, which actually occurred September 24th of 2011. Go into our archives at Kevin Smith Reports. You can look for September 24th radio program. We probably had, was it a three-hour program, or was that a two back at that point, Todd? It was probably 2 hours.
Maybe been a twofer.
Maybe that was a twofer. We had to make some adjustments for the political season. And so, of course, we're back now. And for our three-hour format, you can go in and listen to really what sparked an entire... it started a ball rolling with Robert Braver, and that's why the importance of him being on the air today. I wanted to get his reaction to all that. So let's go back to Randy, who's lost faith in the entire system over this last political go-around in the Anderson municipal elections, and I'm very disappointed to hear that, Randy.
Well, I'm sorry, Kevin. You know, I know this is naive, but I really thought I could get involved. You know, people talk about being engaged and making a difference in your community. And that's why I got involved. Mm-hmm. Because you know, we've heard it time after time. People out here in Anderson are hurting, and we need to get engaged and involved. We can all make a difference, okay?
I agree with that, right.
And this election was nothing but ugly from start to finish. Okay.
Well,
and I'm not blaming that on
you.
In any way.
And that's okay. You can blame it on me. I don't mind if that's your opinion.
No, I don't want to point fingers at anybody.
That's okay.
Okay. I'm just saying the whole process was very messy, and I guess politics is very messy sometimes. And going back to the
let me ask you this: if in politics in the election season. You have candidates, maybe feverishly pitching their point of view and their. But did you find anybody that really wasn't telling the truth in the election process?
Well, I think there was a lot of that.
Okay.
Yeah, I think there was a lot of that. And the question I think we have to ask ourselves about this charitable organization that raises money. How many people would have donated to that particular program if they knew how the money was going to be split up? I think that's the fundamental question there. So, you know, it sounds like some misrepresentation to me, and I can't defend it in any way. You know, I worked for the Democrats during this election, registering voters, collecting absentee ballots, those kind of things. And I can't defend this, okay? I can't defend Judge Spencer and Whitehead basically almost coming to blows because they've got a difference of opinion.
Mm-hmm.
I can't. Hopefully, Kevin, And like I've told you before, okay, hopefully you do something very early on in this administration to set a new tone for the community. And
like
I,
what? What
I,
do you have
I
in mind?
I want that so bad.
Okay? What do you have in mind? What would that be?
Well, you know, I've got ideas. I'd like to have an opportunity just to talk with you sometime and tell you about some of the ideas I have. But, you know, I understand that I was on the other side, and if you don't feel like engaging in that conversation, I understand fully.
Are you kidding? I'd love to get together with you.
Well, maybe we can
because,
sometime.
See, because in all of this, Randy, let me tell you what really stuck in my mind. You were a business owner that I listened to 8 years ago.
Yes,
and
sir.
You made a point about government operations that were detrimental to private business and being able to make money that fed your family.
And I still hold that view.
And my point was, we adjusted government policy, and that was one of the leading things that we were trying not to do, is interfere with people trying to open a business, start a business, operate a business, whether they're existing or new. We tried to keep comments like yours in mind and actually help us formulate policy. And so I want to thank you for that, because nonetheless, that was important. And if I can recap that, Randy and I 8 years ago had a conversation about how running buses at night on demand service, Nifty Lift, and charging like a dollar was so harmful to the private sector cab business companies that they could not compete with that. And that was a valid point. So it came to the, you know, do you want to put a cab business out of business and all those people become unemployed, or do you want to keep pumping, you know, large amounts of government tax money to underwrite that dollar a ride? And that has to be a big consideration there, Randy.
Well, it has to be a consideration, and I understand that there's people out there that need that service based upon certain income qualifications that they have that probably wouldn't ride with my company anyway because of the cost involved.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I understand that, okay?
Now, let me ask, can the private sector like yours provide those same services? I mean, physically, can you pick people up that need a ride in say, for instance, they're wheelchair bound, those type
I
things?
I cannot provide that service, sir. Mm-hmm. I have to be honest with you about that. I cannot provide that service.
But could you, if you had the right equipment?
Yes.
Well, why don't you have that right equipment to do that?
Well, you know, being in the taxi business in Anderson, Indiana,
right,
is a very challenging way to make a living. Okay, we live in an economy that people. Very limited income potential here. I don't have a major airport that I service that's close, like a lot of cab companies in larger cities do. So, basically, my cab business is dedicated to helping lower income folks get back and forth to work, little old ladies going to the doctor, those kind of things. So, you know, I don't make a lot of money in the taxi business, and I don't have any qualms about saying that. You know, it's just I scrape by on what I can, but I provide a valuable service to the community.
Randy, I want to thank you for your call today.
Hey, Kevin.
I really do. Appreciate it.
Kevin, give me a call sometime. Maybe we get together and we'll talk about some things.
Well, and don't be a stranger. Pop up the way you used to into the office, okay?
I'll see you soon.
Thank you very much. So good to hear from private sector business. It's Kevin Smith, hour number three. We're going to shift gears a little bit because this program itself has become the focus of television and print news. And we want to talk about that and there are some clips that go along with that. So stay with us. Kevin Smith.